discouraging times. And I want to continue that. So this is part two. Last night I was looking over this a little bit, and my wife came in, and she said, how's it going? I said, I think I need to start working on part three. It's just so much encouraging words for discouraging times. And my wife and I are believing for personal revival. Personal revival. That I would have revival in my life. You know, when I talk about revival, sometimes, and I know I've heard it here, we talk about revival, sometimes we think about, you ever hear of R.W. Shambach? R.W. Shambach. You don't have no problems, no trouble. Yeah, all you need is faith in God. Man, I used to listen to, when I first got saved, man, I'd put Shambach on and crank up the radio and listen to him preach in the big gospel tent. That was revival. I thought, that's revival. R.W. Shambach is revival. Then as God called us into the ministry and we began to preach and teach, and then the Lord began to send us out and we began to get invitations to go to different churches. And then as the Lord began to move, we began to get invitations to preach revival services. I was thinking, oh man, we get to go preach revival services. And we go preach, you know, people receive and be healed and filled with the Spirit and delivered and all that good stuff. But I thought, it's still something missing. Still something missing. And my wife and I, this last couple of years being here at Faithful Word, experienced personal revival to where we had the presence of God come and just be with us like I've never experienced in my life since I've been here at Faithful Word. And so we've experienced what I want to call personal revival, but we're believing for every single member in this church to experience personal revival. Personal revival. So today I want to continue that, but today I want to talk about Jesus and his name is alive and well. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning? Jesus and his name is alive and well. So last time, I just want to do real quick look back. Last time we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. And if you would turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to start with verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, very hard times, difficult times, troubling times, grievous times. In the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe we're in the last days. I really do. And as I think about it, I could give you probably a list this long of some of the reasons why I believe we're in the last days, or just of some of the things that I see. But I'm not going there. Strong's, when you look this in up in the Strong's Concordance, this is what I hear about these perilous times. There are difficult times that are hard to bear and can reduce a person's strength. They are draining times, exhausting times. If you remember last week, we talked about how these times can drain your batteries. Just drain your batteries. Not last week, last time I preached. They can drain your batteries. And so these times that we're in are draining times. And verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And the list just goes on. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So it talks about these perilous times. I saw something this morning. I just saw something in my mind's eye. And you might have seen this before. When we moved to the East Coast, we never really experienced snow before, like you do in the North. And so we moved there in 2015. 2016, that was a record blizzard. And it was 20-something, almost 30 inches of snow. Never seen that much snow in my life, of course, living in Louisiana all my life, where the entire car is just covered with snow. You can barely tell it's a car. But here's the thing. When you get accustomed to that, it's just no big deal anymore. And we got used to driving in the snow. It would snow, it'd be like, there's a chance of 2 or 3 inches of snow. It's like, well, what are you going to take to work tomorrow for lunch? That was our conversation, because, you know, they were prepared for snow. But it's one thing I figured out. As much as people were accustomed to the snow, they weren't ready for their own actions, their own driving, because they would be going down the road 60, 70 miles an hour. They had, you know, four-wheel drives, all-wheel drives, and I'd be driving down the road, and I'd think, you know, that car can take you fast down the road, but it can't stop you fast. And so invariably, you would see wrecks, people off on the side of the road, all kind of stuff would happen because they just didn't value the storm that had hit. The storm would come, would dump the snow, and they went ahead reckless. And that's what I saw this morning in the spirit. There's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. There are perilous times coming. But this world is not ready for it, because they still going down the road, barreling down the road like there's nothing wrong. Everything is fine. And they're just going full steam ahead. And you know what happens when you do that? Crashes. I was recently, this week, looking at this video, and it was snowing. And it was a whiteout. And you can't see anything. And so they were just showing this pile up. And the same thing happened here a couple of months ago when there was fog and the smoke and there was just this pile up. So you saw these cars going in whiteout conditions, going 50, 60 miles an hour. And you just see the car come out of nowhere and you just hear the crash. And you see the 18-wheeler coming out of nowhere, and you see him, and then people filming this were saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And you just see the truck going, and you just hear the crash. And you see pile up after pile up after pile up. And it was like there's a storm coming, is what I kept hearing this morning. And that's what I see. There's a storm coming. This passage is telling us, there is a storm coming. We got to be ready. And we can't just go into this thing blind like there's nothing happening. We've got to be wise. And we've got to be ready. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can be ready. Amen? Because I'm talking about encouraging words for discouraging times. You know, Pastor Tardo has been, all my Christian life, I've been listening to this man for the most part. And for all of those years, he's been basically saying, in one way or another, there's a storm coming. He can just say it in a very eloquent way. But he's been saying all these years, I believe prophetically, there is a storm coming, and you will hear him preach from this portion of scripture, and he'll dig into it and talk about it, and he will warn the church, and he will talk about what's coming down the road. This morning, I saw that storm coming, and I heard the Lord say people aren't ready because they don't respect what's coming upon this earth. They don't value the voices crying out saying you've got to be ready for the storm that's coming. Amen. Amen. So the last time I told you this. This portion of scripture, when I've read it in the past, I've been focused on the sin. But I forgot about the people who were impacted by the sin. I forgot about us. You see, when these perilous times come, guess what? We are all impacted by these perilous times. You know, church, we're not going to be those lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient. You go down this list, that should not describe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if this is not us, sometimes we think, okay, I'm not worried about it. But this is going to impact us. We're going to feel what's going on in this world when this is going on. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. Isn't that encouraging? Last time, if you go to 2 Peter real quick, just want to recap a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 2. Last time I preached about this, I also read from 2 Peter 2, and we talked about verse 6, and it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." You know, how many times have they showed on the news during a whiteout condition, and they'll show these 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 car pileups? How many times has that happened? You would think it would happen one time, and it should never happen again. You would think. But it happens over and over and over again. And this verse says in 2 Peter 2:6, it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them, judge them with an overthrow, making them an example." We have an example of what happens when society goes crazy and turns his back against God. And Peter said, this is an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So people should know what happens when they live ungodly. People should know what the consequences are, but they still plow ahead in the storm to their own destruction. And verse 7 says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Exhausted by the filthy conversation, the filthy lifestyles. It was like he was laboring, working hard, toiling just to be there. I talked to an individual yesterday, and the conversation we had, I just had to walk away. We're in Lowe's getting stuff to fix, you know, make sure the pipes are all weatherized and all that good stuff. And we're just having a simple conversation. Two guys stand there in the plumbing aisle looking at material. And we have a conversation, and the things he began to say was just so vile and ungodly. To where it's like, you know what? We're just talking plumbing, man. I'm leaving. But that's what we live in. And if you stay around that, guess what's going to happen to your batteries? It will drain your batteries, folks. And so here's how that could be literally translated. Verse 7, it says, and delivered righteous Lot, who was being worn down to exhaustion because he was subjected to the burden of enduring the behaviors of the lawless. And verse 8 says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed, it grieved, it tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds, their wicked deeds. But verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. You know, it's hard living in Sodom. And sometimes it feels like we live in Sodom. Sometimes if you turn on the news, it's like, wait, is this Sodom or is this America? Where am I right now? Am I dreaming? And if you focus on it too much, it will literally drain your batteries because it will wear you down. But I have some encouraging news. Let me hurry up and get to the encouraging part of this message. I have some encouraging news today. Here's the first thing I want to encourage you with. I have some good news. Jesus wants you to run to him when your batteries are drained. Jesus wants you to come to him. It's not like, man, I am so tired. I'm so beat down. I am so worn out. I don't know. What should I do? Jesus like, come to me. Come to me. I want you to come to me. In Matthew 18, 28, this is what he said. Come unto me. The Lord says, come unto me. I want you to come unto me. All you that labor, all you who feel fatigued, all you that toil, who are weary, all you that labor. This is how Thayer, from Thayer's Greek lexicon, this is how he puts it. The word labor is to grow weary, to grow tired. You're exhausted. To labor with wearisome effort. And so Jesus says, come to me if you're tired. If you're worn down, I want you to come to me. And if you come to me, you know what he says? I will revive you. I will recharge you. I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to me. How many of us run to Jesus when we're tired? How many of us need to run to him this morning? I had a phone conversation with someone yesterday. Simple conversation. We're talking, and we were talking about the Lord, and this is what this person told me. They said, David, you know what? I wish I would have done more to serve God because I just don't feel like I have the power to do anything. And immediately, this is what came to me to tell them. I said, that's a lie. I said, that's a lie. I said, you know what's going on? I said, you're tired. You're worn down. You've been beaten down by the world, but you still have life. And Jesus says, come to me. And if you run to him, he will revive you. He will charge you. He will give you your power back. He wants you to come and plug directly into the power source. Oh, hallelujah. How do you like my new refined way of preaching this morning? Trying to be a little bit, you know, see how I'm trying to be calm and cool. And now don't hold me to it the whole service. And he says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will help you. You will recover your strength. You see, we got to stop running to the presence of God. Let me tell you something else. This is how, when as I looked this up, this is what Thayer said. Thayer put it this way. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor. So you're really resting. You know how it is when you go home and you're tired and you crash on the couch or whatever and you just sit there for a minute. And you just stop. Well, that's what this is what this is talking about. It says you do this in order to recover and collect your strength. But this is what it says. It says, Thayer says, it also says that you are quiet and calm in patient expectation. So when you come to Jesus, this is the mistake that we make. This is how we come to the Lord. It's almost like we're sending God a text message. Lord, I need you. Send. Now do something. We run in his presence like, Lord, I need you. Now, what's for supper tonight? What time is it? Man, I got to get up for work in the morning. We even do it at church. Man, is that guy still preaching? Does he not know what time it is? We come to the altar. Lord, I want you to bless me, but I give you 5 minutes. Because if you don't bless me in 5 minutes, I'm leaving and going home. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But when you come to me, stay here with me, rest with me, let me take care of you. Give me time to bless you. Don't send me a text message about your problems. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. Am I making sense this morning? Yes. Jesus wants you to come into his presence. He wants you to run to him. But when you run to him and when you find him, stay there and rest a little while. There's an old song, an old song I used to hear them sing way back in the Baptist church. They used to sing, sit down. Why don't you sit down, servant? Oh, sit down. Why don't you sit down, servant? Sit down. Why don't you sit down, servant? Sit down and rest a little while. That was the song they were singing. I'd be thinking, sit down, servant, and rest a little while. What are you talking about? I was a young man then. I know exactly what they're talking about now. Sit down, servant. Oh, sit down. Yes, I need to sit down. I need to sit down in his presence and rest a little while. Do you realize when you come to church, Jesus says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? I will be there. In your midst, this is us coming to him. This is us saying, Jesus, I need time with you. I'm just going to sit down and rest a little while. This is what it feels like to rest in His presence. This is what it feels like to just be quiet in His presence. Doesn't this feel good? To just be in His presence? Do you feel the peace? Do you feel the peace in this house right now? Father, I just pray right now, even as we take this time of quiet, that all the storms, all the cares, that they would just cease in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray for that restless heart right now. The Lord hears, He sees you. He knows the trouble that you're going through. He knows the fears that you're facing right now. Let Him calm that storm in you. Father, give them peace right now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Man. That's some powerful stuff. I could point to a couple of you and I could just see the storm ceasing inside of you. Here's the second thing. Here's the second thing. Good news I want to tell you. Encouraging words in discouraging time. I have some good news for you. The name of Jesus will endure the test of time. The name of Jesus will endure the test of time. Philippians 2:9 says this, wherefore God has also highly exalted Him, who? Jesus. And given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, what name did I, what, at what name? Jesus. Do we need to practice this? Let me hear you say His name. Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And there's something about that name. That name just makes me want to just stop for a minute, because there's power in the name of Jesus. And in these last days, we're going to need power in our life. And I'm telling you what, right now, church, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, there, you have power in the name of Jesus. You know what? I'm about to lose my sophistication. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Charles Spurgeon said this. I want to quote Charles Spurgeon. Do you know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? Do you know that Jesus is the Word? Do you know that the Word is Jesus? Do you know that? When you talk about the Word, you're talking about Jesus. When you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the Word. This is what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. Somebody grabs a stick and there's a lion in a cage, and they go up to the cage with their stick and they're like, come here, lion, I'm about to get you with my stick. This is what Charles Spurgeon says. You don't have to defend a lion. He said, this is what you have to do. All you have to do is let the lion loose, and the lion will defend himself. Woo! Hallelujah. You know what? Let me quote something from David Walker. I had to just take a little bit of that from Spurgeon and just put a little soul on it. You don't have to try and defend the name of Jesus. We need to but speak the name of Jesus. Proclaim the name of Jesus. Sing in the name of Jesus. Pray in the name of Jesus. When you use the name of Jesus, he will defend his own name. The name of Jesus is powerful. There's something about that name. There's just something about that name. If Sister Roberta was here right now, I would ask her, would you come up and sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Isn't there something about that name? Isn't there something about that name? When you use the name, sing the name, pray in that name, there's power in that name. And all you gotta do is let that name loose, and that name will take care of itself. I wish somebody would say the name of Jesus with me in this place. I want to declare in 2024 that people are still being healed in the name of Jesus. I want to declare in 2024 that people are still being saved in the name of Jesus, delivered in the name of Jesus, set free in the name of Jesus. Man, you know what? I just wish, and wishing don't do any good. I believe that the name of Jesus, as it continues to be spoke in this church, and you continue to speak his name, that he's going to show his name powerful in a way like you've never seen it before. And the enemy will tell you, you don't have any power. You hadn't been reading the Bible enough. You didn't go to the right school. You don't have the right education. You're not praying enough. You're not doing all this stuff. You're not. And that's when we've got to say, you know what, devil? It's not about me. It's about the name. It's not what I do and don't do. It's about the name. It's about Jesus. And I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to speak his name anyway. I'm going to believe God to heal me anyway. I'm going to believe God to save my family anyway, in the name of Jesus. Will you turn to Acts chapter 4? Acts chapter 4. Y'all know it's two or three times I started to just break down that aisle and run around this. But I figured I'll run into something over there and hurt myself, and then y'all gonna laugh at me because I was running. Okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them. So Peter and John had, Acts chapter 3, had healed the lame man, had been lame. They, silver and gold have I not, you know a story. Such I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. He got up and walked, leaping, praising God. Miracle happened. And so here we are, chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection anyway, so they just really despised the message. They despised the use of the name of Jesus, and they despised that they were talking about the resurrection. So then, verse 3, and they laid hands on them. And this is not, come here, brothers, and let us pray for you. Let us anoint you and lay hands on you. No, this is violently grab them. They laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, threw them in jail, for it is now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 men, which means there was women and children. So look at the thousands of people who were saved by Peter and John preaching the name of Jesus. And the devil hated it. In verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, listen at this, their rulers, elders, scribes, Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked this question, by what power or by what name have you done this? So here you have all of these powerful people sitting around two fishermen, high priests, rulers, elders, Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, doctors, brilliant men, all gathered around two fishermen. And so here Peter and John find themselves having to address the Sanhedrin. All these legal professionals, experts of the law, Pharisees, Sadducees, high priest, the most prestigious group of men, the highest educated group of lawyers and men all gather together to talk to two fishermen. Man, you know there's power in the name of Jesus. If God can use two fishermen when they speak his name, don't you think he can use you? So they set them in the midst. In verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, all the questions they could have asked them, all the questions these brilliant minds could have asked them, here's the first thing they want to know. What name are you doing this? Whose authority are you doing this in? That question that they asked me tells me this one thing. The apostles were not on trial. The healing of the lame man is not why they were on trial. They were not on trial that day. The name of Jesus was on trial that day. That's what was on trial. The name of Jesus has sent shockwaves throughout hell and earth. And the devil saw, look, I am losing it. I'm losing control. And the Sanhedrin saw, we are losing control. There is something more powerful than anything we've ever seen before. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus was on trial that day. And I'm telling you what, a storm is coming, people. The name of Jesus was on trial then, and the name of Jesus is still on trial right now. There are countries passing laws right now that is just anti-Bible. Brother Derek, when I talked to him yesterday, he was telling me about just some of the persecution. Pure persecution some of these guys in India. Brother Dave, you know all about it. These guys in India will face. If they go out, just going out, set up a box, get on the street corner and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. What's going to happen, Brother Dave? Depends on where they go. Some of them might not make it back home. The name of Jesus was on trial then. The name of Jesus is on trial today. During this election year, I'm telling you, a storm is coming. This is an election year, and you have, I got to watch what I say right here. You have men. Ungodly men who are straight up running for office, and some of them are so ungodly. It's just pitiful how ungodly some of their belief system is, the things they stand for, some of these guys. And as you get closer to the election, don't think the media is not going to start to throw out words like hate speech. And I've already told you in the past, as they began to make these connections and say, okay, the most hated man in the country right now, we got him. And so they're going to try and attach Christianity to him. And with that, you're going to start hearing words like Christian nationalist. And as you begin to hear those words, that's going to start to trickle back to the Word of God. And that's going to start to trickle back to the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you, a storm is coming. We need to be praying. We need to be fasting. We don't need to be hiding under a rock. We need to come out from under whatever rock we think we're going to hide under to be safe and say, no, baby, I'm not hiding. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I stand for truth. I believe in the Word. I am a Christian, and I do speak the name of Jesus. Because when we stop speaking the name of Jesus, the world will say, oh, okay, they don't care anymore. Let me take some more from them. Let me take more rights from them. Let me silence the church some more. Verse 8 says this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. They were like, let me just tell you, it's real simple. It's the name of Jesus. No, don't say that. Don't say that. I could just hear the devil in those guys, those religious men saying, quit saying that. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation. Now he's about to get even deeper in trouble. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is the all-powerful name and the only name that we can look to for salvation. In verse 13, now when they saw the what? The boldness of Peter. Wait, let me back up. When they saw something. They saw something. They didn't just hear something. They saw something. They saw an anointing on these men. They saw something different. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Hang on a second. I got to come down and preach y'all for a second. Did you see what that just said? Unlearned and ignorant men. But they took note of one thing. What did they take note of? These men had been with Jesus. Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You're tired. Come to me. You're laboring. Come to me. Let me give you rest. Let me give you rest. And when we go to him, guess what this world is going to see? They're going to see a man of God, a woman of God who is bold, who is sanctified, who's walking a life worthy of the word. And people are going to take notice of you. They're going to take notice of you. If I go back too far, I'm going to start. Start preaching again. Let me get back up here with my notes. They saw something they just couldn't explain. They just couldn't figure it out. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I love to do? There was this young man one time, we had went to this meeting, and he was dressed there, and he was sitting there, and just, I just remember going up to him, and I remember talking to him about the Lord, and he says, I'm a Satanist. I was like, okay, that's cool. I still want to talk to you about the Lord. And I said, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Just take my hand, and Jesus is going to show himself strong to you. And he wouldn't touch me. If you could put $1 million in his lap, he would not touch my hand for nothing. But this is what I'm telling you. Verse 16 says this, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Let me tell you something. When you come to Jesus and you sit in his presence and you get your batteries charged, God will move through you in ways that this world cannot deny. He will show himself strong through you. And I'm talking about all of you. I'm not excluding anybody in this church right now. Well, I'm not talking about Derek. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about everybody in here right now. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me so I can revive you, so that you can go out into this world and show them that Jesus and his name is alive and well. So verse 17. But that is spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot, I just can't help myself. I just can't help myself. You might as well tell me not to breathe. You might as well tell me not to eat, because I just can't help but speak his name. So when they had further threatened them, now this is how they threatened them. These lawyers and doctors of the law and Sadducees and high priests and all of the guards around, they said, you know what, Peter and John, we're not going to let you watch TV anymore if you keep preaching in this name. We're not giving you any more candy if you keep preaching in this name. We're not going to take you shopping at the mall anymore. They threatened them. We're going to make you go sit in the corner, young men. Man, they probably told them, let me tell you something. I'm sure one of those guys said, hey, Peter, come here. Come close to me. You know who I am. Boy, I will have your head cut off if you don't stop talking in this name. John, I know you. I know your daddy. Come here, boy. Let me tell you something. I will have you beat to with an inch of your life if you keep talking in this name. When they threaten them, let me tell you what, they threaten them. They threaten them in a way that would have us running and hiding for our lives. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. If it wouldn't have been all those people around them, they would have beat those men to death. I'm wrapping it up, folks. Here's the third thing as we close out this message. God gives us the boldness to not only endure, but to excel in troublesome times. God doesn't just give you enough to hang on, but he gives you an anointing and a boldness within you that won't just give you the power to make it through, but to excel. And as we look at verse 23, as we continue to read in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went straight to church. They ran to church. See, that's the thing about, that's the sad thing about America. People don't run to church until times get bad. When times get hard, you see people running to church. You can't even find a parking spot. But when times get good, but that's a whole nother sermon in itself. They went to church and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, now they went to church. They went to church. They came and talked to you. And so here's Peter and John said, hey, let me tell you what happened to us, church. And when the church heard it, they, the church, you, church members, lifted up their voice to God in one accord. That's why I had you all stand this morning. Because there's power when the church prays. There is power when we stand together and agree together. There's power in the unity of the saints. And the church lifted up their voice in one accord and said, Thou, God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Who? Listen at this. Verse 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, so King Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, so all those Roman rulers, and the people of Israel, the scribes, the Pharisees, were gathered together. All of them came together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You know what they were saying? Men have been trying to silence the name of Jesus for years and years and years and years, but they have failed because Jesus and his name lives on. Pilate tried to silence that name. Where is he now? Herod tried to silence that name. Where is he now? The Sanhedrin tried to silence that name. Where are those scribes and Pharisees and lawyers and doctors? Where are they now? They're dead. Their bones are in the grave. But the name of Jesus is still alive and well. And I'm telling you what, people can try and silence the name. Governments can try and silence the name. Men can try and silence the name, but they're going to have the same testimony that Herod and Pilate and all those other people have. They're going to be dead and gone, and the name of Jesus will live on in its power and authority. As I continue to close, I'm so glad there's healing in the name of Jesus. Deliverance, peace, reconciliation, forgiveness, the raising of the dead, the healing of marriages, the forgiveness of sin, the reconciliation of children and parents. Whatever you need today, there is power in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout Jesus? Verse 29, and they said, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy service. Now, the church is praying. The church is praying. Now, this is not Peter and John praying for the church. This is the church praying for Peter and John. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now, listen. They pray for boldness, but this is how you're going to see boldness. And I really am closing. I really am. This is how you're going to see boldness. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all, church, as you pray, God blesses you. They were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. How did they speak the word of God with boldness? Because there were signs following as they spoke the name of Jesus. In these last days, the name of Jesus will shake the heavens and earth again. And we got to be ready. We got to be ready. Because as the outcry comes to silence the name, we've got to lift our voices even louder to declare the name of Jesus. I want to practice something. Well, I could start prophesying right now, but I'm not. I can't. I want to practice something. I want the church to stand for a minute. And I'm through. Anybody ever gone to any kind of sporting event before? Let me ask a question different. Anybody in here that's never gone to a game or a sporting event before? And you know how they are. Man, you can hear them. You can hear them yelling, screaming. We've been too quiet, church. We got to find our voice. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to get back at me from yelling at you this whole service. I want you to yell at me for a minute. This is what I want you to do. We are going to shout the name of Jesus. Not one time either. We're going to shout the name of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you ready with me? Do you feel like you can speak that name? Now, here's what I want you to do. As you begin to say that name and shout that name, some of you are coming here with some stuff, some problems, some issues going on, and you've been wondering, Lord, this is 2024. Why has this followed me? As we begin to say the name of Jesus, I want you to have faith that there are some things that's going to be broken. There are some of the things in your circumstances that's going to be broken. So if any of you have a perfect life, then you don't have to do this. Actually, if any of you have a perfect life, I want you to come lay hands on me after the service and pray for me. Are you ready, church? We're about to say the name of Jesus. All right. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Jesus.
One, two, three.
Jesus.
Let me hear it again. Let me hear it again.
Jesus.
Let me hear it again.
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. If I need to pray for anyone, feel free to come up. And we will speak the name of Jesus on your behalf.